Welcome to the Shir HaKtava Kabbalah Parshas Metzora. So Parshas Metzora, as we know, mostly deals with Tzaras, following up on Parshas Tazria from last week. And one of the forms of Tzaras that's discussed in the Sedra is what's called Nigei Batim, the very unusual notion that Tzaras somehow has the ability to afflict a home. So the Pasuk says in Perek Yudalid, Pasuk Mem, the tziva ha-kohen, if the kohen comes and he sees that what is spreading through the house is indeed tzaras, he should give the word. They should remove all of the stones of the house that are afflicted with the tzaras. Vishlichu eshen al michutz lo'ir, they should throw them, the stones, to outside of the city, al makom tomi, to a place which is which is not deliberately kept tar, which is not deliberately kept pure. So on this pasuk, the Tzava Kabbalah quotes from the Taras Kohanim. Taras Kohanim is the Medrash Halach on Sefer Vayikra. So Taras Kohanim says as follows: Es hen michutz lo'ir, ve'ein adam chutz l'chol ir, el chutz la'ayaro samukafas komo bilvod. The pasuk says that the stones of the Bayis Hamanuga, of the house which is afflicted with Tzaras, you should throw them, Eshen, outside of the city. So the word Eshen is really superfluous. You could have said Vishlichu el Michutz lo'ir, you could throw to outside of the city. So the word Eshen, says the Taras Kohanim, means the stones will always be thrown outside of the city. However, an individual who is afflicted with Tzaras is not always sent out of the city. It depends. Only a city which is surrounded by a wall is does the Metzora get sent out from. We know the Metzora is Meshtaleach Chutz L'Gimel Machanos. The person afflicted with Tzaras is sent outside. In the Midbar, he was sent outside of all three parts of the Jewish camp. So in Eretz Yisrael, he gets sent outside of a city with a wall. But if the city in question does not have a wall, so there, I mean, he's allowed to remain within the city. There's no concept that he has to get sent out of the city. So writes the Taras Kohanim. The Karban Aaron, commenting on this Taras Kohanim, says as follows. How do you understand the Taras Kohanim? Eshen mila yaseirahi. The word eshen, them, the stones, is extraneous. What else are you throwing outside of the city? It's the stones that the kohen removed from the house. So that's what the Taras Kohanim is coming to tell us, that the Metzora is not automatically sent outside of the city, only cities with a wall. And here the Karban Aaron adds the following. This is really the crux of what the Ksav HaKabbalah wants to get at. The concept that the Metzora is sent outside only of a walled city is because as follows. She Yehoshua Kidesh Kol Ayarel Yisrael Mukafas Chomei Mimei Yehoshua. It was Yehoshua Ben Nun who sanctified all of the walled cities in Eretz Yisrael, specifically the cities that were walled from his time, from the time of Yehoshua Ben Nun. The Nosan Lahem Kedushas Machane Yisrael, and he gave the cities the sanctity that's associated with the Jewish camp, such that if the person becomes a Metzora, he has to be sent outside of the wall. Avoloki deishlachol Eretz Yisrael. But Yehoshua did not invest that same degree of sanctity in all of the cities of Eretz Yisrael. That is to say, the Hein HaYorel She'enon Mukafas Chom of Yomav, right? The cities that were not surrounded by a wall in the day of Yehoshua. So, and we know that when it comes to a Metzora, he has to be sent outside of a wall of a city that has the din of the machane, that's considered to be like the camp in the desert. So is Yehoshua who invested those cities with the wall, with that kedushas machane, with that status of being like the camp in the desert. And you know, so therefore only the walled cities have that status, not the unwalled cities. So what's not just implicit but explicit in the carbon Aaron is the idea that it's not just simply a walled city which requires the Metzora to be sent outside of the walls. It's specifically a city which is walled from the days of Yehoshua Ben Nun. Now, what the Ksav HaKabbalah is going to discuss whether that requirement that the city be walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, which again we just finished Purim not so long ago, we know that in the context of Purim, you know, cities that read the Megillah on the 15th are walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. There, it's not just the wall, but the fact that the wall existed from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, is that same historical requirement that it be walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, does that apply as well to walled cities, the requirement of walled cities when it comes to the idea of sending the Metzorah outside of the walled city? You'll note in the Taras Kohanim that we started off quoting, the Taras Kohanim does not make reference to a city that's walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Taras Kohanim writes that a Metzorah is only sent outside of the city, Chutz la'ayoros hamukafos choma. The Metzorah is sent outside of a city that's surrounded by a wall. It could be surrounded by a wall that they just put up recently, right? Maybe it's the southern border with Mexico. I don't know. You know, but it doesn't necessarily have to be a wall that goes back to the days of Yeshua ben Nun. That's the impression you get from the Taras Kohanim. It doesn't mention that as a qualifier, right? The Karban Aron introduces this idea that if it's going to be Mukafas Choma, the definition of Mukafas Choma that is surrounded by a wall means surrounded by a wall from the days of Yeshua. So, right. So the Karban Aron gives an explanation for why it is. In other words, that the kedusha of these cities that are walled stems from Yeshua. But again, that's the Karban Aron. In other words, it could be that it has nothing to do with anything that was invested by Yeshua specifically. It's just Gzeiras HaKosuv. A city that has a wall has a din that the Metzorah has to be sent outside of that city. A city that doesn't have a wall doesn't have that din. I mean, it could be that. It has nothing to do historically with Yeshua.
What's the concept then?
What's that?
What was Gzeiras HaKosuv?
No, this pasuk, Vishlichu Eshen El Michutz La'ir. Okay, so it's a Tarsha Baal Peh. In other words, you know, it's a tradition that we have orally that, you know, the city needs to be surrounded by a wall. Okay, so, right? So if you hold that the requirement that the city be walled includes that the idea that the city be walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun, says Aksava Kabbalah, you run into a problem in Tanakh. And where do you run into a problem with Tanakh? So if this wasn't an Ibur Yor, and Mitzorah wasn't Shavas HaGadol, we'd be laning for the Haftarah, the story of the Arba Mitzorahim, right? The four Mitzorahim, Gehazi and his three sons, according to our Mitzorah, who were outside of the wall of the city. What city were they outside of? So if you look in context, in the Navi, in Malachim, they were outside of the city of Shomron. When did Shomron get its wall? So here the Ksav HaKabbalah introduces us into an interesting, reminds us that we're supposed to be learning Tanakh also, and gets involved in this interesting historical discussion. Amnam kosher ma'od mikra mufurosh, right? This idea that the wall has to exist in the days of Yeshua, which again is not in the Taras Kohanim, but is in this the Karban Aron. So the pasuk says, "V'arba anashim hayu mitzorayim pesach hashahar." Right, there were four men who were mitzorayim. They were outside of the gate of the city because they weren't allowed into the city. Right, mitam bodor yeshem michus lamachane moshava. Right, as the pasuk says, that the mitzorah has to sit outside the city. Halo ir Shomron lo nifnista ad yemei Omri melech Yisrael. Who built the city of Shomron? Omri, the king of Israel. Right? In other words, that is to say, Omri came later than Yeshua. Maybe we just have to chazer a little history over here, right? Yeshua came first, then Omri. How do we know that? So, a pasuk in Malachim, it's Malachim Aleph, Perek Tes Zayin, pasuk Chos Aleph. Right? It describes the reign of Omri in the northern kingdom. This is Malachim Aleph, Perek Tes Zayin, Pasuk Chaf Dalet. It says, Vayiken es hahar Shomron, me'es shemer b'kikrayim kosef. Omri bought the mountain of Shomron for two large pieces of silver. Vayiven es hahar, he built up the mountain. By Yikros, Shem Ho'ir, Asher Bono, Hashem Shemer, Adonai Ha'har Shomron. Right? And he called the name of the city which he built, Shomron, because the one who had owned the mountain up until that point was named Shemer. So in other words, the city was named Shomron after the previous master of the mountain, Shema. The implication of this pasuk is that Omri was, he was a mitnachel. He went, he found a mountain that was an empty, unoccupied mountain. He bought the mountain and he went and built a city on it. So the city, the wall around the city of Shomron clearly dates from after the time of Yehoshua, because the whole city of Shomron dates from after the time of Yehoshua. And yet the pasuk in Navi says that the Mitzrayim had to go sit outside of the wall of the city of Shomron. So it seems like the Mitzrayim didn't hold like the Karban Aram. In other words, they didn't hold that the city had to be walled from the days of Yehoshua in order to require them to sit outside. Even a relatively, you know, later wall required them to sit outside. That's what, again, you can, the best raya, the best proof is from the Psukim, right? Now, here you have an example of a city which the Navi tells us post-dates Yehoshua bin Nun, and yet the dinim of the Mitzrayim having to sit outside the city, you know, were applicable over there as well.
Assuming that they were there after
the din. Right, okay, but it's a hard argument to say that halachically they weren't required to sit outside the city, but something else was compelling them to do so. I mean, again, you really have to, you know, bring proofs to bolster, you know, that four men who don't have to go sit outside the city are doing so, you know, for some other reason, right? And it really, you know, it sounds like they have to do it because that's the din, that they have to sit outside the city. Ve'amrinam, just to underscore this point even more, the Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Davkut Beis Amid Beis, Mipnei Ma Zacha Omri L'Malchus, why was Omri privileged to become the king? Mipnei Shehosef Krachechot Be'eretz Yisrael Shenemar Ve'even Esahar, because he added an extra city to Eretz Yisrael, i.e. the city of Shomron, as described here in the Pasuk. So if you're going to build a Jewish city in Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have the merit to become the king of the Jewish people. I mean, I don't know if it always follows like that, but at least in Omri's case, you know, he built an extra city, so now he was Zocha to become the Melech. So the implication of the Gemara in Sanhedrin is also that he was, he was building a city that did not exist previously. The cave on Shilohaisa Bnuya Azman Rab Achar Yeshua Lo Yitzricham HaMitzorayim Shiloh Chutz Lo'ir. So why did the Mitzorayim go outside of the city? The wall, the whole city was built much later than Yehoshua. Obviously we see that the idea that the city be walled from the time of Yehoshua is not a real requirement. So it says that Sava Kabbalah, there is what to talk about though in this pasuk. The Efshah should be Tamzeh Shino HaMetargim Shom B'Targumo Shetirgem vayiken esahar shomron v'zoban yaskrocha dulish shomron v'chein vayiven esoir ubono yaskrocha ayin shom. If you look, says the Aksava Kabbalah on the Targum, the Aramaic translation of the pasuk, the Aramaic translation subtly changes the meaning of the pasuk. The pasuk, the way we have it, is vayiken esahar shomron. He bought the mountain Shomron, and he built a city there. The Targum that we have says V'zalben yaskracha Dilish Shomron. He bought the city that belonged to Shomron, Uvana yaskracha. And then later in the Pasuk, when it says he built the city, you know, the Targum also translates he built the city. I don't understand. He bought the city and then he built the city? How do you buy a city and then build the city? Right? So the answer is, the Targum apparently is holding that there was a city there already. When it says that when he bought the mountain, it wasn't that he bought an empty expanse of land. He bought the mountain which included the city. So what does it mean he built the city? He built up the city. It's not that he built the city from scratch. He fortified the city. He made the city bigger. He made the city nicer. Whatever he did exactly. If you learn like the Targum, so then the city existed even before Omri came on the scene. Arguably, the wall existed even before Omri came on the scene. And then, you know, we could still maintain the idea that the wall has to be there from the days of Yehoshua bin Nun in order to have a din where the Mitzrayim would have to be sent out of the city. So in other words, that could be what's motivating the Targum to translate in a non-literal fashion. Because certainly, the Pasuk itself says he bought the mountain, not that he bought the city. What would prompt the Targum to say he bought the city if it says he bought the mountain? So Rashi Sava Kabbalah Viroisi La Admar Hagon Moreno Harav Rabbi Akiva Eger B'Tosvosov L'Mishnah Perik Aleph Dekalim Shis Orer Alzeh. Right, one of the contemporaries of the Aksava Kabbalah was the famous Rabbi Akiva Eger. Again, one of the all-time great Gedolei Achronim, lived in Poznan, in Prussia. And writes Aksava Kabbalah. I looked at the notes of Rabbi Akiva Eger to the beginning of the Mishnayos and Kalim. The Mishnayos and Kalim talk in the very beginning talk about Esther Kedushos, that there are 10 levels of sanctity that apply in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, Eretz Yisrael is a certain level of sanctity, but yet the Kodesh HaKodashim, the Holy of Holies, has an even greater level of sanctity. And between Eretz Yisrael in general and the Kodesh HaKodashim, there are, you know, 8 levels of sanctity in between, you know, where one progressively gets, you know, more and more holy as you go within specific areas of Eretz Yisrael. One of the areas of Kedusha is Arei Choma. In other words, the city which is surrounded by a wall has a special degree of Kedusha that other parts of Eretz Yisrael lack, specifically with regard to this concept that the Mitzorah has to be sent outside of such a city. So there on that discussion of the Mishnayos, Rabbi Akiva Eger raises the question, wait a minute, what kind of walled cities are we talking about? If we're talking about walled cities that have to be walled from the days of Yoshua ben Nun, so what are you going to do with this pasuk? This pasuk implies that Shomron did not even exist in the days of Yoshua ben Nun, and certainly wasn't walled. How do you reconcile that with the idea of it being walled from the days of Yoshua ben Nun? There, Rav Suriel in his notes to the Ksava Kabbalah notes that Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes the Radak. How often do you see Rabbi Akiva Eger quote a Radak? So Rabbi Akiva Eger quotes the Radak, and the Radak writes as follows, that Afal Pi Shlohoya Baoso Perik Od Shomron Benuyo Adayin Shrei Omri Bono Esoir, right? Shomron was not really built up until the days of Omri. Nonetheless, Hoya Shomit Chilo Perez the Omri Kono Hahar Ubono Shom Hoir. There was always, says Rabbi Akiva Eger, based on a Radak, there was always a city there. Omri bought the existing city and he fortified it. He built it up, again, as we're saying before. So it is possible that Shomron at least existed and maybe had some kind of rudimentary wall, you know, going back to the days of Yoshua ben Nun. The MS, to tell you the truth, says the author of the Aksava Kabbalah, Loshana Taras Kohanim Ba'Mishnah Hanal Ayoros Hamukofus Choma V'chein Kosav HaRambam Din HaMitzora Shiel Moshav Levado Chutz Lo'ir Shenemar Michutz Ba'Machane Moshavo V'dover Zer Ba'Yoros Hamukofus Choma Be'eretz Yisrael Bilvod. Truth be told, says the Aksava Kabbalah, as much as you have Rishonim and Achronim who mentioned the idea that the city has to be walled from the days of Yoshua ben Nun, just to mention who they are, the Karban Aaron we mentioned before, the Rash, who's one of the Rishonim, writes in that fashion in the beginning of Masechta Kalim, right, that the city that is surrounded by a wall has to be surrounded by a wall from the days of Yoshua ben Nun. The Bartanura also writes that the over there in Kalim, that the Mitzorah is only sent outside of a city where the wall is there from the days of Yoshua ben Nun. So you have Rishonim and Achronim would definitely mention it. Nonetheless, says the Aksava Kabbalah, if you go back to the earlier sources, i.e., the Taras Kohanim, which we have over here, the Mishnah in Kalim, and to quote one of the other great Rishonim, the Rambam, right? None of those sources mention the idea that the wall has to be there from the days of Yoshua ben Nun. So the Rambam, for instance, in Perek Yud of Tumas Tzaras in Halacha Zayin, writes that the Mitzorah has to sit outside of the city, and this Halacha only applies to the cities in Eretz Yisrael. In other words, if there's a wall around the city of Prague, you know, the Mitzorah is not going to have to go outside of Prague. It only applies to the walled cities in Eretz Yisrael. But even after giving that disclaimer, the Rambam never says that the wall has to be there from the days of Yoshua ben Nun, right? So, again, if the Rambam felt it had to be there from the days of Yoshua ben Nun, he should have written it. The Rambam similarly, in Aksava Kabbalah, in Perek Zayin, of Hilchos Beis HaBechira, when he's talking about the different kedushos of Eretz Yisrael, also mentions that the mitzvah has to go outside of a walled city, but does not qualify that the city has to be walled from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. Umashmos hadvarim to mikol ayaras hamukafus chama mitzvah mishpalchem afshe eno mukafus chama mitzvah Yehoshua ben Nun. The implication of all of these sources, the earlier sources, quite frankly, is that, you know, the wall does not have to be there from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Uvozeh askia krod demalachim kepashte. And says the Aksava Kabbalah. And if that's the case, so then we don't have to stand on our heads to try to figure out how Shomron would qualify as a city from which Mitzorayim would be excluded, right? As per the Pasuk, you know, that Omri bought a pre-existent city and he just strengthened it. No, he built the city. Aye, he built the city after the days of Yeshua ben Nun. So what? So what? Who says that the requirement to have the wall is that the wall has to be there from the days of Yeshua ben Nun? So that seems to be the Aksava Kabbalah. You know, again, to whatever extent he can say, is coming to a conclusion. You know, he seems to say that the simple reading of the earlier sources indicates that the wall does not have to be there from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Rav Tsuriel, in his notes to the Aksava Kabbalah, you know, writes as follows. Okay, so if it's really the case that a strong case can be made that the wall need not be there from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun, so how is it that you have all these Mefarshim who do introduce the idea that the wall has to be there from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun? Right? The Svara is similar to what the Karban Aaron said before, as already pointed out, right? The idea that it was Yehoshua who invested these cities during his conquest with the Kedusha of similar to the Machane, and obviously he could only invest cities with Kedusha that already existed at that particular time. But Rashi of Suriel, perhaps all of these Mefarshim made the assumption that, you know, what's true in the laws of Megillah is true in the laws of Mitzvah as well. Certainly we know, again, as we just celebrated Purim, that when it comes to Purim, the definition of a walled city is a city that's walled from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. That's explicit, you know, in the Gemara. So it would seem that these Mefarshim understood that called the Tikkun Rabbanon ke'en daraisa the Tikkun. Whenever the Rabbanon make a law, they pattern it after a din daraisa. Where would you find a din daraisa where a walled city makes a difference? Mitzvah. And so it must be that the definition of walled city in the laws of Mitzvah is similar to the definition of walled cities when it comes to Megillah. It's a reasonable assumption. But says Rav Tsuriel, there is a fundamental difference between, you know, the two cases, namely that the way that the Rambam explains that why is it that the or really the Gemara why is it that the when it comes to Megillah, the walled cities have to be walled from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun. Lachlo kavod le'eretz Yisrael. Right? To give kavod to Eretz Yisrael. Why to give kavod to Eretz Yisrael? Well, because really, you know, if you go back to the story of Purim, it's not really fundamental. There was no fundamental difference at the time of the story between walled cities and unwalled cities. The difference was between Shushan and everywhere else. Right? So really, it should be that everywhere in the world should celebrate Purim on the 14th, and Shushan should celebrate Purim on the 15th. However, you know, if only Shushan would celebrate on the 15th, so it would be a slap in the face to the cities in Eretz Yisrael, because it would highlight, it would call to attention the fact that the cities in Eretz Yisrael, in fact, you know, were not walled at the time of the miracle of Purim, that only Shushan was a walled city. It would highlight the fact that Shushan militarily was superior to the cities in Eretz Yisrael at that time. So to show kavod to the cities in Eretz Yisrael, Chazal said, you know what? Any city which is walled from the days of Yehoshua ben Nun should also experience, you should also read the Megillah on the 15th. But that whole svara that, you know, we have to show kavod to the cities of Eretz Yisrael, therefore we're going to back everything back to Yehoshua ben Nun, is only true in the context of Megillah, because we don't want to shame the cities of Eretz Yisrael vis-a-vis the city of Shushan. In the context of Mitzorah, where Shushan plays no role whatsoever, right? I mean, there's no din that a Mitzorah is sent outside of walled cities in Eretz Yisrael and Shushan. right? So there's no concept of shaming the cities of Eretz Yisrael in any way. So that's what Suriel writes. There's really no reason that, you know, the time of Yoshua ben Nun should play any significant role in terms of this din of the walled cities in Eretz Yisrael. So that's what he suggests. That again, there seem to be many, many indications that the halacha in terms of mitzvah would not require that the wall be there from the time of Yehoshua ben Nun. I, who gave the cities in Eretz Yisrael this special status, the Torah itself, you know, doesn't hinge on a special kedusha imposed by Yehoshua or anything of that nature. You know, the Torah itself says that there's a din. That if you have a city which is walled, whatever the city is, you know, has a wall, so then, you know, the concept in the Torah of Bodod Yeshev, that the Mitzvah has to sit by himself, immediately comes into effect. In other words, you know, the way one might understand it is that it's not entirely based on the Kedusha of the walled city, but just that the walled city constitutes a certain unit. The wall makes a unit around the city, and that already indicates that Bodod Yeshev, you know, in terms of the Mitzvah, forces him to be outside that unit which is defined as the city. Okay.
What's the halacha by Geula?
What's the halacha by
Geula?
Right, in Bati Arechalma. Right, so there also, there you taka do have Melch Yeshua ben Nun. Right, so it's interesting. So that, there you'd have the call the tikkun kendarais, the tikkun, right? But you know, Bati Arechalma and Mitzvah need not necessarily function, you know, based on the same halacha. Again, here in Mitzvah, maybe a function of Bodod Yeshev, the definition of Bodod is outside of a city. The definition of a city, you know, is something that has a wall around it. Without a wall, it's not considered to be a city, right? But it's not, not because of any special moment of Kedusha which was invested in the city. Okay, Bez Hashem, after Ma'ariv tonight, which is going to go straight to Mechiras Chumash for those who are interested. Again, that's the end of the Chumash here for tonight. Next week, there is no Parshas HaShavua, so we'll see if there's anything that we do special next week, Wednesday night, or otherwise we may just talk about Inyanim that's relevant to Pesach. Okay, Rabbi Chananah ben Akasha Omer, Rav